It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Inside Cougar football.
Rex makes the catch, 10-5, touchdown!
Inside Cougar football with Isaac Rex, sponsored by Economics Partners on Cougar Sports Saturday.
All right, Cougar fans, this is a special podcast edition, Cougar Sports Saturday, Cougar Tracks hybrid episode, because General Conference is happening this weekend. BYU football's got a Friday night game, so it's a podcast edition of your weekly interview, Inside Cougar Football with Isaac Rex. It's brought to you by Economic Partners, Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. Always check in every single week with BYU captain and tight end Isaac Rex. And Isaac, you know, BYU Cincinnati getting ready for a Friday night game against the Bearcats. How has this week gone in practice, coming back from the first loss of the season?
Shorter week, so you don't have a lot of time to sulk, you know, about, you know, last week. It was obviously a tough loss. We obviously felt like, you know, we were in positions in that game where we should have won, and, you know, some things happened that didn't go our way. But there's no time to sulk, you know. The great thing about being a conference is one loss doesn't define you fully. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can make your goals in a conference. And so, yeah, we're excited about Cincinnati. We get to play at home, a nice Friday night game, and then you get a bye after. So it's, we're going to give everything we got this week.
Isaac, you touched on the conference element of the game last week against Kansas. Does it just feel different, even in a loss, knowing that, hey, like, there's still a lot more to play for than previous years?
Yeah, I mean, when you're independent, one loss means you're kind of done. Sadly, I mean, if in terms of going to the playoff or to a BCS bowl or a New Year's Six bowl, and that's how that 2021 season went. We go 10-2. We lose to a really good Baylor team. Sadly, we lose to, Boise State, but we're 10-2, and, we get put in the Independence Bowl. And obviously we felt like we were better than that. We were ranked, 14th in the nation or 13th or something to that matter. And, that's so frustrating as a, team to know, like, if you lose a game, even in the middle of the season, that, you could be, sadly, it's the same as going 6-6, and if that makes sense, you're like scheduled for a specific bowl when you're independent. So yeah, being in the Big 12 is important, and obviously every loss hurts equally. You never want to lose games, and it's rare that there's an undefeated team, at the end of the season, maybe two in all of college football. So losses, may come. Obviously, your goal is to be undefeated, but no, it's definitely, you get a new perspective after a loss. You're like, this is not the end of the world. We have, a lot of games to play, a lot of really fun games to play. So it should be, we definitely have a more positive outlook and attitude on things.
What were your takeaways from that Kansas loss? I know it's probably a distant memory already, but just kind of your kind of takeaways from how that game played out and maybe the opportunity that was missed?
Yeah, just self-inflicted wounds. I mean, when you give the other team 14 points on offense and two pick six or a fumble return and a pick six, you'll never win that game ever. So yeah, it was just self-inflicted wounds by the offense. I felt the defense played really amazing. I felt like our offense played really well at times. You know, we were really driving the ball on them, and you know, we had a lot of explosive plays. But yeah, that's just what happens sometimes, you know, in games. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. A lot of things we can work on, learn from, and yeah, we'll get back to it this week.
Have you got a sense of how this team is responding to a little adversity, maybe contrasting that against last year's group?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, guys are still working this week. You know, we still had a tough week of practice. I feel like last week or last year's team, maybe there was a lot of complaining going on, a lot of guys that, you know, weren't just, you know, weren't really buying into maybe the BYU culture as well as we probably should have. But, you know, last year's team, we lost four in a row, but then we've won four in a row to, you know, cap off a, you know, a good season, 8-5. It's not amazing, but, you know, that's just how it went. But through all the things we dealt with, you know, 8-5 we'll take. But yeah, this team, they're hungry. They want to win. They know there's a path to winning. You know, we know that we can, you know, play with anyone, and we know Kansas is a good team. They're ranked now. And so, yeah, it's, definitely, I would say we were sad after the game, but we're feeling good and confident now.
Guy that's been really confident this season has been, and it's been fun to watch him, is Keaton Slovis. He targeted you 13 times last week. That was a single game career high from my tracking, looking at it. How much do you enjoy Isaac being a key piece to this passing game and just a focal point, honestly?
No, it's been really fun. I mean, Keaton's been, I think he's been playing really well, and he's been putting the ball in the right spots and making good decisions and making big plays, but also taking, you know, the easy stuff when it comes to him. I think Keaton's a amazing quarterback and has, you know, NFL talent. There was a play where he rolled out to the left and chucked it to Chase on a go ball. And that was one, like, an amazing pass, you know, that I've, one of the best passes I've seen at BYU, and seeing it on film was even cooler. So, yeah, I mean, it's been really fun. I feel like the passing game's been awesome, and A-Rod's been helping me get involved a lot, which has been really cool too. So, yeah, it's been fun.
To piggyback off that, why do you think the passing game has just been so on point this year? It just feels like it's on another level than it's been since you've been here.
Yeah, I would say we're experienced. You know, me, Chase, Keanu, even Darius and Keelan, we've all, you know, played in big games. One thing I don't understand is you going back to the targets thing. They add a target to my, you know, illegal touching penalty, and they which makes no sense. I'm like, if it's a penalty, I didn't technically get targeted on that play. So
good point.
I don't know why I just thought about that. I just needed to get that off my chest. But well, I don't know why that's a thing.
That penalty was ridiculous against Kansas. That makes no sense.
It was.
Yeah, and I'll back up Keelan. Apparently he checked with the ref, and they called it on the Kansas's other side, which means a coach on Kansas's side was, you know, screaming at the ref saying, look, he's on the ball, because we've had problems with that before. So, yeah, I'll back Keelan up. I felt like he was off the ball. But, no, yeah, I mean, our passing game has been – it's been fun. But, you know, we need to get the run game going a lot more in order to open the pass game up even more, so we're more of a dual threat team.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about that run game, because Aaron Roderick, your OC, did say this week that – all 11 guys play a role in an effective ground game. As a tight end, what role do you play in helping that ground attack get going, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, for a tight end, it's you're on the ball blocking, you're off the ball on the, you know, with the lineman, you're crush blocking, you're wide zone blocking, mid zone blocking. You have to know just as much as the O-line in some cases, you know, your double teams, tray blocks. it's super important. Blocking is very important as a tight end. And I felt like, you know, and we at BYU my whole time here, we've been super involved in the run game, which has been great to, you know, kind of have a kind of like a dual threat, you know, tight end who can do both in the run game and pass game. It's been really cool to that I've had that opportunity here at BYU. But yeah, I mean, it takes all 11 men. You know, there's a lot of plays that could have broke free if you just stay on a second longer. So, yeah, whether you're out wide blocking, whether you're a quarterback carrying out, you know, a good angle for a handoff, it's all important. It's all 11 guys doing their job. And yeah, a tight end is a big, you know, for us, we're a big component in that. So, yeah, it's my job to, you know, do better and get in the trenches even more.
Speaking of Aaron Roderick, offensive coordinator, what's he like during the week? How does he address you guys in the meeting room? Like, just what's his demeanor during the week, maybe before you hit the practice field?
Yeah, Aaron's always been a kind of a quiet leader. He's a very smart coach. You know, he knows how to coach. And he has always been, you know, there's a lot of rah-rah coaches out there. I wouldn't say A-Rod is one of them, but every single person, you know, on the offense and on the defense, every player on the team, every coach respects him and what he's done, you know, at Utah or at BYU. And he's had some really good offenses, you know, in the past that he's coached and that he's called plays for. And, you know, I think that A-Rod is, you know, one of the top offensive coordinators in the nation. And, you know, I think he could get a lot of different jobs out there. But, he loves BYU. He loves Utah. He loves the state of Utah. And he loves, like, you know, just helping us out. And he's a really good leader and he coaches us hard. But, yeah, he's not a rah-rah guy, but we all respect him.
BYU in Cincinnati, Friday night, 8:15 kick. Do you enjoy Friday night games?
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Name's Isaac.
The 8:15 has gone pretty late for me ever since I had a kid.
Amen. Yes.
On Tuesday, I think I fell asleep after I came home from practice. I think I fell asleep at 8:45 watching a show. So I'm getting to that point where I'm becoming like my dad, who...
No judgment, man. I actually prefer to go to bed at that time. I've just totally embraced it. The earlier, the better.
I know. And when I was a freshman or, you know, even like a couple years ago, I was like, oh, 8:15 is the coolest, you know, I get to stay up late. And but now I'm like, dang, that is late for me. I'm sorry. I'm like this. You know, I try to get as much sleep as I can and I do a pretty good job. My son's sleeping pretty well now. But yeah, 8:15, it's been getting later and later since I've been getting older. So. But the Friday night games are always cool just because, you know, you get Saturday and Sunday off and we get to just relax and enjoy conference. And it's much better after, you know, you get a win. So that's
what I got to ask you. Speaking of conference, has your family or you and your wife now, do you have any conference traditions or any treats or snacks you guys like to eat for LDS General Conference?
Well, growing up, my dad always made French toast, and that's the only thing he really ever made. Like, my mom cooked it. Yeah, that was his one job, was to make some French toast for conference. And then we play conference bingo, you know, just to so we can stay alert, stay awake, and have some fun to it. So I think you'd got like a dollar if you won conference bingo or something. But with my in-laws, my father-in-law, who's actually a super really good cook, and he can barbecue, he could do it all. He makes crepes for us for conference. So, you know, that's a tradition. Then we kind of just hang out and chill. So
are you going to pick up the French toast mantle? Are you going to carry that on?
I mean,
probably not.
I'm actually a pretty horrible cook. Like I'm really bad. I don't have like a complex palate, as you know, taste buds. I'm very like my in-laws always make fun of me because I grew up just really, it was just meat and rice and some veggies. But my in-laws, they make all types of crazy desserts and, you know, different meals. So we'll see. I'll let them do the cooking.
Speaking of food, staying with that topic, Isaac, I always notice this, especially on the road. I think you guys always have like a post-game Chick-fil-A. What's the palate like for the fast food game? Is Chick-fil-A your favorite? Because I feel like that's kind of always the traditional post-game meal on the road. What's the favorite, you know, quick fix drive-through meal at a fast food place?
So fast food, growing up, I was a huge Taco Bell kid. I had beefy five-layer burrito. I'd go to the beach, come back, and if you know, like, after being in salt water all day, if you know what it's like to just have Mexican food in your system, it's probably like a top 10 experience after a long day to get some Mexican food in your system. And Taco Bell is always quick and cheap. And so I was a big Taco Bell guy growing up, but, you know, I need to take care of my body, so I need to put good stuff in my body. So Chick-fil-A's up there, the egg white grills in the morning. I get that a lot of mornings, more than my wife likes. But I tell her it's kind of an investment, you know, like I'm putting good stuff into my body so that, you know, I can perform better on Saturdays.
Well,
so
I had to ask that because I always find it interesting – because you guys are peak, you know, great athletes, and it always like humanizes you a little bit. Like, hey, they're eating the same stuff that I do after a game, like a Chick-fil-A meal. It's always just kind of interesting. Like thinking, I would expect some just nutritious, great meal coming out of the Legends Grill kitchen. It's just fast food.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, after games, you just have to put anything in your system because you haven't eaten in a long time, and then I heard something that like, if you're playing 60 plays, it's like getting in a car wreck every Saturday, you know, like you're getting hit a lot. And so nutrition is super important. And that's not something I kind of figured out fairly recently. My wife, actually, she got her degree in nutrition from UVU. So, it was actually exercise science, but I think maybe a minor in nutrition. Like, she knows everything about nutrition, so she helped me out about like getting my diet right and stuff like that. So
last food question for you, Isaac. You're at home, so this question doesn't necessarily apply, but on the road, it looks like someone comes down to the Provo airport and hooks you guys up before you get on the plane. Is there a particular meal that you love the most when you show up to the Provo airport to take off on the road and eat on the plane? Because for Kansas, it was what, Costa Vida?
Yeah, Costa Vida for Kansas. Teriyaki, I think it's bowl or grill. It's something that has to do with teriyaki bowl or grill. I think it's based out of Lehigh. I know Braden Kimes, so our right tackle Braden Kimes, his dad owns the spot. And it is, yeah, it's the best teriyaki bowl that I've had in Utah. It's so good, man. It's, yeah, they have like a grilled pineapple on top and then The grilled pineapple is really good, but it's just the meat's really good. The rice is good. The teriyaki sauce is super good. I've never been to the store personally, but apparently, you mentioned you're a BYU football player or something, they'll hook you up with some free stuff. So, yeah, teriyaki bowl, I'm pretty sure in Lehigh is the place that, you know, they hook it up for the plane ride, and that's the place to go in Utah for a nice teriyaki bowl.
That sounds good. We'll have to check that out, Matt. I think that we'll take up Isaac's recommendation on that spot. Last couple things here for you, Isaac, and we'll wrap this up, make it a little bit of an abbreviated edition here. You know, Cincinnati comes in, and I got to bring this up, one, because you're a tight end, and Cincinnati's maybe most famous alum now at this point is Travis Kelce, and he's just all over the world with this Taylor Swift stuff. Is Travis Kelce a guy that maybe you'd like to, well, sure, I'm sure you'd like to have his career, but do you like watching him? Do you study him at all?
Oh, yeah, he's the best pass catching tight end, you know, in the NFL. It's to do the things that he does is just amazing. And him and Mahomes have such a good relationship that, you know, it's almost like clockwork, you know, when he's getting the ball to Kelce or when he's looking at Kelce, it's so fun to watch on film. And I actually met Travis Kelce when I was a senior in high school. And I think he's probably only maybe 3 or 4 years in the league. He's pretty new in the league. But he was the coolest guy, like such a cool guy. And so, he was down in Southern California and John Beck had a couple quarterbacks out there, and he knew that Travis was coming out. So me and my friends, we went and watched him, you know, run some routes. And yeah, he's very technical, very shifty. He knows how to use his leverage really well. Travis Kelce's, he's a total stud. So I look up to him a lot.
So did that?
Have you been swept? Go ahead, Mitch.
Oh, well, I was going to say, was when you met Travis when you were a senior in high school, did you get an inclination that he was a Swiftie back then?
Well, he's a ladies' man in general. So yeah. I think when I was in high school, he had his own reality show called Catching Kelce.
And I think bad reality show. Oof.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was rough, but I'm sure it was fun for him. Like, who cares? You just bunch of chicks just going after you, and you know, like trying to get you to, you know, date them. And of course, I'm pretty sure he didn't even date any of them. It was just all for fun, and he probably made some money off it. So he actually is a master marketer of himself. You know, doing SNL, and I'm sure the dating Taylor Swift does not hurt his, you know, bank account. I read somewhere that his sales went up 400% in jersey sales or something. Like, so all the Swifties are just buying Travis Kelce gear. And I'm like, yeah, it's he's not a dumb man. I'll say that. He's very smart.
Have you been swept up in the Taylor Swift phenomenon? Are you a Swiftie?
You know, I like a lot of her old stuff. I used to listen to that album a lot. I think it was Fearless, it was called, and you know, Love
that
Story.
Is old, man. That was pre-2010.
It was when I was really young. I was probably still in elementary school, at least in the middle school or something. But no, I mean, yeah, Love Story is a great song. You Belong to Me is amazing. And obviously, like, she kind of went away from country, got more pop. And I kind of, you know, I'm not a crazy pop fan, but I still respect, you know, songs like Shake It Off and I Knew You Were Trouble When You Walked In and stuff like that. You know, and I have a lot of respect for Taylor Swift. I probably would go to a concert if I had the money, but I do not hate Taylor Swift at all.
Last thing for you, Isaac. What's the BYU equivalent to the Travis Kelce Taylor Swift relationship? What BYU relationship goes on like the pedestal of relationship goals for people out there, you think? It's a tough one.
That's a great question. There's a lot of athletes to athletes relationships, but there's not a lot of like singer to athlete, you know, entertainer to athlete relationships out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to think of, you know, some.
It's probably Isaac, honestly, the BYU tight end. He marries a Utah Valley volleyball player.
Kingsley's engaged,
honestly.
Kingsley's engaged to Nani Falatea now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of athlete to athlete, but I'm trying to think. My wife can sing, though. She used to post singing videos, and she used to post, yeah, like her, you know, singing and playing the piano. So my wife can really sing, but she's kind of embarrassed to do it all the time. So, yeah, I would say it's me and my wife.
I like that. I was hoping for that answer, Isaac. I was teeing it up for you to let it be you and your wife. That's great stuff. Yeah, yeah. Well, best of luck Friday night. I know you got to get to the team hotel tonight, so we'll let you do that and appreciate the time as always, and we'll touch base next week.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Thank you, guys.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.